Jude this past week. I said, Jude, will you put up the first slide, Joe? I said, Jude, what do you think that a mom does? And he said, get me some blueberries. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, I mean, that is motherhood, you know, is that one thing that I have noticed having been a mom for quite some time now, is that serving while being a mother is a given. It is expected. It is a part of daily life. In fact, babies, if you put up the next slide, babies just expect you to serve them. I mean, they just assume that those people that are in their house will get them what they need, you know, will yell and they will cry until it happens. Now, at this age, Eden wasn't even old enough to smile at you, because at least once they start smiling, like, you get some reward back from them. But you know, when they're very small, they don't smile at you. Like, they just cry when they want stuff, you know. But God put this love within us to care for them and to serve them. And so we're going to talk about serving today. And I feel like motherhood is a really good example often of serving. I have spoken to many mothers over the years who serve their families and often feel taken for granted. It can be tough to serve when thanks are few and attitudes are often. When what you do is expected rather than appreciated. And so to all of you that are not mothers, just take, you know, make a mental note of that, you know, and not just on Mother's Day. I used to tell my children when they were little, my older ones, just because I'm a mom does not mean that I don't have feelings. Like, it hurts my feelings when you say things or when you do things. And so it's important that, you know, that we remember that parents, mothers and fathers, have feelings, and what you say affects them. And so I also want to say that I know that every family is different. And for some people, Mother's Day is very hard because of the hardships that they've been through, because of things that they didn't experience growing up or experiences that they did have. And I want to encourage you that God cares and He knows the hurts that you've experienced. And I really just pray that as we're going to look at just a couple of verses before we move on, that God doesn't pretend. In fact, if you put up Psalm 34, verse 17 and 18, God doesn't pretend that hurt and injustice doesn't exist. In fact, it says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Is it the verse before that? Maybe I wrote it down wrong. Anyway, it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and He saves the crushed in spirit. God sees when our hearts are broken over hurts that we've faced and things that we've experienced, even in our families. Psalm 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. There's a lot of people that struggle in the holidays. Isaiah 49:14 and 15 says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. I know I'm moving through these verses quick. That was Isaiah 49:14 and 15. And then the last one is Isaiah 66:13. It says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. We can know that no matter what we go through, that if we will look to God, He can comfort us. Just as a mother comforts her children, He is that awesome and that willing and that faithful. And so as you get to know God, you realize that He really is faithful. Now, it doesn't always feel the way that we expect. If you expect God to come down and give you a big bear hug, I mean, some people have experienced those type of physical things. I have not, you know, but God can come in and He will give you a verse, or He will cause somebody to say something to you in church that just speaks to exactly where you are. Or He will, you know, cause you to hear something on the radio. Don't discount those things and go, oh, well, that was just coincidence. God causes those things to happen, and we can miss Him speaking to us all day long because we go, oh, well, I probably just thought of that verse because I heard it the other day. I've come to the conclusion, God is the one who allowed me to hear it the first day and then brought it back to my mind the third day because he knew I was going to need it. He is so intimately involved in our lives. So don't discount him and miss what he's doing. God knows the things that you've suffered and he wants to walk with you. He also wants us to learn to serve because it's the only way that we can be like Jesus. Jesus from the very beginning was a servant. He came from heaven, the Bible says, and took on the form of a servant. And so some of the important things, the three things that we're going to look at today that we can learn from serving are humility, number two, faith, and number three, surrender. Jesus, if you put up the next slide, Jesus taught humility through serving. We're going to look at this story in John. It's in John chapter 13, that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And that was a very big deal for him to do that when he did it. But I want us to look at those verses. So John chapter 13, verse 3 through 5, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going to God. So notice, nothing was beneath Jesus because he knew who he was. He didn't have to prove that I am better than doing these kind of things because he knew who he was. He knew where he had come from. He knew where he was going. And as Christians, that's what we need to be. We need to be secure in who we are in Christ so that whatever God asks us to do, or sometimes even what we're asked of people and we think, oh, I really don't feel like I need to do that. But if it's from the Lord and if God is leading us, then we need to be willing to serve. So Jesus, knowing that the Father, okay, go to verse 4. He rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he has taken the towel that's around his waist and wiping their feet with them. So he was very close to their feet. okay. Verse 12 through 17, we're going to skip to verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Okay, you can be seated. So, okay, so Jesus taught humility to his disciples by demonstration. He didn't just talk about it. He demonstrated it. And as he was demonstrating it, then he explained to the disciples, this is what you should do for each other. Bible Study Tool says that, of course, probably a lot of you have heard this, that back in those days, most people wore only sandals. And so this washing was refreshing, but as well as cleanly for them. In case of most of the ordinary people, the host furnished the water. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus said to Simon the Pharisee, "You gave me no water for my feet," when he came in, because typically the host furnished the water and the guest would wash their own feet. Now, in a really fancy place, a rich person's house, then they would have a servant to wash the people's feet. But that was considered the lowliest. It was the lowliest of all services. And so that's why it was such a big deal for Jesus as their master, as their teacher, to do this for them. Humility is, Jesus taught humility. That's the first thing that serving teaches us. And that's what God wants us to learn. Humility is all throughout the Bible, and it is an important part of Christianity because the Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you put up the next slide, humility, according to the dictionary, is freedom from pride or arrogance. In other words, it is not thinking you are better than other people. Okay, can anyone, one of the kids, tell me who that drawing is? Or the adults, you know, that's fine. Yeah. Squidward. Okay. So Squidward, if you've never watched this cartoon, I tried to find a better one, but you know, copyright laws, it's such a big deal that you copy and paste. And so anyway, so I found this one that I was allowed to share, I think. So anyway, Squidward, if you've never watched the show, he really thinks he's better than everybody. Like, throughout, I mean, no matter what he's doing, like, it's basically beneath him and everyone else is beneath him. And so we don't need to act like that. As adults, as children, as teenagers, we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't think that things are above, beneath us, or that we're better than other people. In fact, the Bible says to consider others better than yourselves, to honor other people. That's an important thing. Jesus did the job of a servant to train his disciples to serve each other. The Bible says he put on the form. He put on the form of a servant. So as moms, we can teach our children humility by demonstration. But children, you need to learn it because, you know, it's important for us not only to demonstrate it, but you have to be willing to learn what your mom and dad are trying to teach you. Because as parents, we start training our children, you know, they start off being very dependent. And then as they get older, we start to train them to be independent and do things for themselves. Some do that earlier than others, you know. And so I am a firm believer as soon as they are old enough to make their own sandwich, they can learn how to make their own sandwich, you know. And so, but those are, you know, different concepts for different kinds of people. But we train, the ultimate goal is that we would train our children to be independent and also to serve others. And so we have to continually be willing to learn. Okay, our second thing that we learn, and this was really interesting to me. God taught me a lot through this, is that our faith grows through serving. If you put up the next slide. Our faith grows from serving. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Now, I looked up the picture of a mulberry tree because the verses that we're going to read say, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted by the roots and be planted in the midst of the sea, and it will obey you. Now, some research that one of the notes that I read said that the black mulberry tree has such an extensive root system that it can live up to 600 years. So being plucked up a mulberry tree is a big deal if it's a black mulberry tree that has an extensive root system. So I want you to have that in your mind as we're reading this. Okay, so I got to slow down. I'm just sorry. I'm very keyed up this morning. So Luke 17, verse 5, it says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So they like us. You know, so often we want God to just fix our problem with a prayer. Like, and we get upset at God when he doesn't. Like, God, can you just fix this thing in my character? And God is like, yes, here is a trial to train you. And we go, oh, you know, and then we complain through the trial. And God's like, I'm just answering the prayer that you prayed, you know? I mean, but it's important for us. This is how we grow. And so the disciples are like, Lord, just give us more faith. And Jesus, this was Jesus's response to them. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, so a very small, I'll show you a picture of a mustard seed in a little bit, but a mustard or any kind of seed is packed with the DNA of the bush or the whatever it is that it's growing. So a seed is a powerful thing. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And then we're going to read verses 7 through 10, and we're going to kind of come back to verse 7 through 10. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But he will not rather say to him, will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. So we're going to come back to that part. But at the beginning, Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith, making it something that he did, rather being something that they did, that they had a part in. But faith is like a seed. If you put up the next slide, a seed, as I said, is a small thing with a lot of power within it. It has all that DNA that, you know, can produce amazing things when it's planted in the ground. Faith is powerful, but it needs to be planted. And so Hebrews 11:1, I grew up with my parents quoting this verse. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the things hoped for is also translated divinely guaranteed. The evidence means the available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or proposition is true or valid. So faith is the evidence. It is what brings truthfulness to the things that we believe. And so it's a very important part of the Christian life. And we miss out on a lot of promises that God gives us, to a lot of answers to prayer, to a lot of peace, because we just don't attach faith to the scriptures that God's given us, to the prayers that we pray, to the words that are spoken over us. We have to attach faith. The Bible says that the word being preached, it says this in Hebrews somewhere, the word being preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. We have to mix faith. It is a vital part of the Christian life. It's what gives the evidence that our belief is true. And it's an abstract concept, I know, but it's the same concept that there is in a seed. There is this power in this little tiny seed because it has all this DNA that can produce change and can bring growth out of the ground. And faith is like that. When someone plants a seed in the ground, they believe or they have faith that that seed is going to produce what they planted it for, what it said it would. If we have faith, Jesus said, like a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree to be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. When we have faith, this is important because remember what we said about how vast the root system is of the mulberry tree and what a big deal that is when it's uprooted. If we have faith, we can uproot things that before had extensive root systems and plant them in seemingly impossible places. What Jesus said is you can uproot a mulberry tree, even one that has an extensive root system, and you can plant it in the middle of the sea and it will obey you. That is impossible in the physical. But God will tell us sometimes to stand in faith, to pray that root systems would be uprooted in our lives, in the lives of our family, in the lives of other people. That ways of thinking and default systems that we've had and wrong mentalities would be uprooted and they would be planted in places that were seemingly impossible. Listen, it happens with the gospel all the time. Lives are completely transformed, but we have to have faith. That is the beginning and most important part of that concept. If you pray and just beg God all day long, but you don't apply faith to it, you're just going to end up frustrated. God is merciful and he loves when we come to him. But the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. In Hebrews 11:6, God spoke to Jeremiah that he would do just that, talking about, world systems. Jeremiah 1:9-10. God spoke to Jeremiah and he said, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, which also means to uproot and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. If we will see things and hear from God and pray the prayers that he's calling us to pray in faith, then we can be a part of this. We can see things be uprooted and things be planted. And sometimes we need to hear from God and we need to speak over people the things that God is showing us about them. Because some of them don't have anybody else speaking godly things in their lives and telling them, this is how God sees you. This is who you are. This is what God wants you to accomplish in the world. And we need to be hearing from God because listen, children in here, God has great plans for you. I mean, he sees who you can become and who you are now, and it matters to him who you are now, not just who you will be one day, but who you are right now. And so through faith, We can see things in our lives change. Faith moves mountains. We sang that song and it was so cool. We sang that song this morning. Matthew 17:20, Jesus said to them, because they were asking why they couldn't cast the demon out of someone that came to them. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, that's why we were singing about it earlier, move from here to there and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. Mom gave me this book yesterday, and it was such a God thing because I opened the book up and I didn't open to the first page. I just opened the book up somewhere and I already knew, you know, that I was preaching on this and I was working on my message at the time. And as I opened the book at the top of the page, it said, even as you were reading this, you need to know that your capacity for faith, thank you, can be increased. The faith that qualified Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Sarah, and many others to take their place in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11 was faith that had multiplied and matured. It is your job, Christian, to help your faith mature. You are given a measure of faith, the Bible says. But if you don't do anything with it, you are to take the word. You are to stand on the truth. You are to begin to decide that God's word is more true than what you see until you see those things come to pass. We are to allow our faith to grow in connection with God, with his strength, with his power, with what he says to us, and begin to see those things come to pass in our lives. Now, sometimes it takes time, but a seed takes time. It's expected that a seed is going to take time to grow. And so, it continues. It empowered them to believe the unbelievable and see the unseeable and know the unknowable. There is nothing God commended more than faith. And when our faith honors God in return, God honors our faith. Faith in the life of a believer is critical. So the last part that I want to teach, the last thing that I want to teach us is that serving teaches us surrender. We also need to understand that when we serve the Lord and do his will, we shouldn't expect him to thank us for doing what we should have done already. Sometimes as Christians, we can have this mentality where we switch things around. And instead of us being the servant and him being the master, we begin to become the master and expect him to be the servant. And we might not ever say that, but as soon as he doesn't do what we thought he should, and we start to shake our fist at him and complain about how he should have done things, often we forget who's who. And we forget, you know, our place in this. And that's an important part of Christianity. Now we see where David struggled and he asked God what was going on. I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying we can forget who the master is and who the servant is. And God is not afraid of reminding us who is who. In fact, let's look in Luke 17, verse 7 through 10 real quick. And so this is Jesus talking, and he said, and which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he was coming from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all these things, those things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Now, a lot of us do not understand that whole idea of having a servant that would come in after they had worked out in the field and we would expect them to prepare our supper. But a lot of us have done that to our mothers. I mean, the truth is, you know, as children, you come in from playing, your mom has been cleaning the house maybe all day and cooking supper, and you sit down and go, really? Like, I don't want to eat that. Or, this is gross. Or, okay, my children, I'm just going to tell them, Josiah and Lydia, one time they complained on the way home, and they both remember this forever, because they complained. Well, I don't remember what we were eating, but they didn't like whatever it was. Green beans. All we have is green beans in this house. And carrots. That's all we have is green beans and carrots. And yeah. Want to guess what they ate when we got home? One of them had green beans and the other one had carrots. That's all you get, like, for this meal or whatever, you know? And so, listen, we can do this to people in our lives. Like, and so I want to talk again, you know, to the children. Appreciate what your moms do for you. Like, even if you don't love the meal that they cooked, it's okay. You don't have to love it. You can just be thankful for it, you know, because That's the right thing to do. And it helps us grow as people. And so it's important. But Jesus wanted us to understand that we owe obedience to God because he is God. The truth is, at the end of the day, we should not look at God and go, God, you owe me. Like, I did this for you, and I came to church on Sunday, and then I got a ticket because I was speeding on the way home. That's not God's fault. But some people get mad. See, that's what happens when I go to church. Or they give their tithe, and then something happens, you know? And they go, see, God, I gave my tithe, and now look at what happened. Like, the truth is, we owe God the tithe no matter what. I mean, it's his. Like, we give it to him, not because he owes us something back, but because of who he is and because his word says that we should. And so we need to make sure that we don't have that mentality. God is not our servant. We are his. Peter, Paul, and even Jesus's half-brothers, James and Jude, referred to themselves as bond servants of God. We have to have that mentality, because when we do, it changes the way that we serve. When we say to God, God, my life is yours anyway. Everything that I'm doing, everything that you ask of me, my life is yours anyway. And sometimes you have to work to get your flesh in line with that mentality. But when you do, it will change Christianity for you. And that's the way we're supposed to live. Our offering of service to him needs to be done with the right attitude. I'm going to wrap this up in just a minute, but I want to tell you a funny story. My sister and I, when we were probably like 12 and 13, we gave my mom the most terrible Mother's Day gift, because we gave her a gift that was for us, not for her. I'm just going to tell you guys, it is not a bad thing to ask your mom what she wants for Mother's Day. It's not a bad thing. Like, you can ask her. And if she says, oh, honey, it doesn't matter, well, then, okay, you're off the hook. You can buy whatever you like, you know. But the goal is, mothers, don't be afraid to tell them what you want, you know. I mean, if it's within their price range, of course, you know. But, I mean, it's not a bad thing. But we bought my mom an electric can opener because we wanted one in the house. Now, if you know my mom, she is not a gadget person. Like, she doesn't have gadgets. In fact, I was going to bring it. We never had an electric can opener until that point growing up. We had like the tiny little thing that you put on the, and then you have to get it just right, and then you twist it, because my mom doesn't like gadgets. She doesn't like stuff on her counters. And I'm sure that at some point she was, I'm sure, very gracious when we gave it to her. But we realized after the fact, because I know now, I'm sure we had to talk about the fact at some point, that that gift was for us because we wanted one in the house. That was a selfish gift. Don't do that. Listen, our gifts to God and our gifts to other people should be what we think they want, not what we think they should have or what is more convenient for us to give. So we need to have that attitude with God. 1 Peter 4:11 in the New Living Translation says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking to through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. God will give us the ability to serve if we will rely on him for strength. If you're being asked to serve and you're thinking, oh, God, I feel like you want me to do this, but I really don't want to, just be honest. Just say, God, would you give me grace? Josiah's going to share a real quick story about serving.
Hey, guys. So I have a job at the church that I go to in Columbus. I work as kind of like a janitor, kind of like cleaning stuff up and everything. And so, we also have like a daycare center inside our church. And so while I was working one day, there's one of the toilets in the bathroom at the daycare center that for some reason always gets messed up, and it's gross. It's disgusting. But anyway, so I walked into the bathroom because one of my things is I kind of like change the paper towels and the toilet paper, make sure that that's all stocked up and everything. And I saw that this toilet had, you know, like overflowed, and it was gross and disgusting. And I was like, I called over one of the workers and I was like, hey, there's like a problem with the toilet. You guys probably should go fix that and everything. And they were like, yeah, okay, yeah. And so I walked out and I was walking through the gym because the gym was right next to the bathrooms. And I remember thinking, I was like, I'm not doing that. That is not my job. And I heard, oh, in my head, I heard the Holy Spirit just say, oh, has the Lord ever checked you with a single word in your spirit that like you literally, I stopped in my tracks and I was like, okay. So I went and I got a mop and I went to the bathroom and I was like, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. And they were like, oh, thank you so much. But yeah, I thought that I was like too good for it. And then Jesus literally said, okay. So yeah, that's my story.
All right. So at different seasons in our lives, I just want to end by saying serving looks different. For some of you right now, you are serving the church by praying. And that is a huge offering and a huge gift to the church. And I want also to encourage you that serving starts with relationship with the one who gave his life. Sometimes when God begins to deal with people, they just start doing things for the people of God or for the church. And that's a good thing. But listen, the Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing. People will not make themselves any favors in heaven if they do not come first in relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, it's a good thing to give to the church, to give to charity, to give to people. Then all of that can be a good thing. And I think it's necessary and good. But it starts with the relationship with the one who served us first, who loved us first. And so he gave his life so that we could have relationship with him. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't been living in right relationship with God, then repent. Wherever you are, repent and allow God to forgive you and to restore your relationship with him. When we start to realize, man, I really need to get right with God, that doesn't come from you. You don't have to worry that maybe God doesn't want you to come back, because the Bible says we cannot come unless he draws us. So if you are feeling that, it's not because you just woke up one day and had a bad day and realized that you needed God. It's because God Almighty is drawing you. So if you ignore it, you are rejecting him. And I would encourage you not to continue to do that, because God is drawing you because he loves you. And so repent. If we will live in surrender, the changes will come in our lives. He is with us to help us as we look to him. And so I know I've talked a lot because I have a lot of experience with Mother's Day and with children and mothers. And so I just want to encourage you today. Learn to serve. Watch those. If you didn't have a mother maybe that served or especially was not a godly mother, God will give you godly mothers and fathers within the church that you can look to, that you can learn from, that you can grow with. And so I just encourage you to learn from him and from the people that he sets in your life as examples. And most importantly, learn from the example of Jesus. So I'm just going to close this in prayer. And then Joe, if you'll play that song. Father, thank you. Thank you for all the mothers that do serve and many times go unnoticed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your service for us, for what you have done and the way that you continue to intercede for us. You are so good to us, and we're so grateful. Help us to have a humble attitude, first and foremost, toward you, that we would understand that it is our duty as your creation, as your people, to serve you and to do your will. But help us also to have a humble attitude toward each other and be willing to serve whenever and whatever you ask of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.